Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Ned Schmidt. He is the founder and editor of the Value View Gold Report. And Ned, I have to say, you have been pretty consistently optimistic and bullish on the precious metals. And to start this month of June, the metals really have been moving strong. And right now they are within spitting distance, very close to some of those highs that we saw earlier on just this year. And I think that would be a first nice breakout point that we could see for the metals right around that 1340 level or 1350, depending what type of contract you are looking at. What has gotten you even more encouraged in the past just few days of trading action, let's say?
Well, actually, and first I want to apologize to Silver Dollar for not getting to my forecast in May, but Silver Dollar, we're getting there. Because we hit 1275 on the 30th of May. And yesterday, the intraday high was 1344.70. We're essentially up $70 from the end of May. And it's only D-Day. And that's amazing. Now, Corey talks about contract. I look at the cash market, Corey. I don't pay any attention to the futures market. That's where teenagers play. I'm looking at the 1347, which was the intraday cash high. Oh, I think it was the 20th of February. We traded within $3 of that yesterday morning. And we get a 1351 or something like that. People like me are going to come raving bulls. And why has that come? Because the markets have judged the Federal Reserve to have thrown in the towel. We had another stupid comment on inflation from the New York Fed president this morning. And whether they cut rates or not anytime soon doesn't matter. They are perceived to be mushy. A bunch of mice, scurrying around, not knowing what they're doing. And the dollar has done nothing since last August. And if you look at some of the individual currencies, as you and I were talking earlier, you can't get any easier monetary policy than Japan. And what's happened is that the spread between the attitude of the Federal Reserve and the attitude of the Japanese Central Bank is narrowed. The yen traded up to 108.15 today. And if that breaks 108, that's the market saying the Federal Reserve is intellectually bankrupt. The other one is to watch is the Chinese yuan, and it was trading at roughly 6.906 this morning. If we get a 6.91, the market is going to get shaken pretty bad because the Federal Reserve just looks mousy. Of course, Corey, I'm saying all that knowing that I don't know what the U.S. labor report's going to be tomorrow. If it comes in minus 5,000 jobs, gold will probably gap up. And so that's very positive. The other thing is I can't get over relative strength. For the last 5 weeks, gold and silver have outperformed the stock market. And that's important because as the markets are telling us that gold and silver have reasons to go up, the stock market does not. And, you know, I looked this morning. So these are this morning's numbers. And we're talking on Thursday afternoon, so this was Thursday morning. Kitco had gold up 3% from a year ago. The GLD was up 2.6% from a year ago. Compare that to the NASDAQ, which is has been the heart of the bull market in stocks, off 1.5%. And Apple, one of their favorite stocks, down 5%, 5.6. Gold was even outperforming Amazon, who they worship at. And so this relative strength thing is the market's telling us a message. And especially if you look at a chart on the stock market, U.S. stock market, like the NASDAQ, it's tracing out bear footprints. I mean, there's no way you can look at a NASDAQ chart or even an S&P chart and not see bear market footprints in that chart. And so it's very positive what the markets are telling us. And one of the things I've been talking about for the last 2 months, especially, Corey, is the comparisons to the 1929-1930-31 mistakes that we made. The Federal Reserve tightening in 29, the trade wars in 31. And to look at these problems, you got to have to go look at China. Now, the U.S. was the instigate, was the problem in 1930 when we passed Smoot-Hawley tariff bill. China is in the position of the United States was in 1930. And we're seeing problems develop internally in China. I highly recommend that our listeners, Corey, you read the South China Morning Post. It's scmp.com. You have to sort out some of the propaganda, because remember, they are Chinese, so they love their country like we love ours. But they do some good articles. And one series they've been working on is, how is China going to defend the yuan if a problem with the yuan develops? Now, I don't think they'd be asking that question if somebody didn't think there was going to be a problem. Now, in 1931, what really kicked it off was the collapse of a bank in Austria that nobody ever heard about, Credit Installed. That was the first bank that went under. And in China, they've already had their first bank, one that I can't pronounce, and no one's ever heard of. But the problem is, nobody will lend a Chinese bank or a Chinese business dollars anymore. So their shortage of dollars is developing in China, which makes it hard for them to buy raw materials. If they want to go to Indonesia and buy some raw materials, or Japan and buy some parts, they have to have dollars to do it, because those people won't take one. So there is a problem developing in China. Now, why do I mention that? If the Chinese cannot get dollars, in other words, the Chinese want to move their money out of yuan into a non-Chinese currency, their preferences, the dollar, so they can go up and buy houses by Corey and live next to Corey. And they can't do that. So what is their only other choice? And I don't want to exaggerate here, but I think their one other choice is gold. I think part of this move we've had in the last week is in part driven by Chinese buyers, because we really don't see decent data on Chinese buying. It only comes after the fact, and we really don't know it. So I think we need to watch what's going on in China a little more, and the dollar shortage developing there. Now I found it. The name of the bank in China is Baoshang, Baoshang. That's the first one. That may be their equivalent of Austria's Kreditanstalt.
Well, Ned, we will see how it all plays out. A lot of this issues, or a lot of these issues that China is having, definitely relate to this trade war that is ongoing, that has only gotten worse, and that's also contributed to the uneasiness in the markets, and now the Fed seeming to be backed in a corner and having to cut rates most likely in July, and now the market's even pricing in 2 rate cuts throughout the end of this year, which is a big change from where we stood even 6 months ago. So the Fed is definitely looking to be on the side of the gold bulls right now, kind of forced into that position. Even the US dollar has started to move down. And as you said, ever since May, we have seen gold start to outperform the US equity markets. It was in a bit of a downtrend there to start the year, but we've seen this nice rebound. And you know what? Gold still so much just depends on US markets moving lower, and there are a lot of worries. You're not alone thinking that another recession is right around the corner. Just look at that bond market. But Ned, when it comes to, I guess, the demand for gold and the investment into gold, do you see the price screaming higher, or is this going to be one of those continuous moves higher where it, in all fairness, it does have some resistance levels in the next about $50 that it needs to get through? So is it going to plow through those, or is it going to be kind of this two steps forward, one step back, stair step pattern that you see?
Well, the gold market is as big a market as it is an illiquid market. So if we get like a bad labor number tomorrow, and Powell comes out and makes stupid statements like he has been making about easing, the gold market can move, well, it moved $8 today on really no news. And so it can move $8, $10, $15 in a day, really on not much news the way it is now. So if you're waiting to buy at either my breakout or Corey's breakout, you're going to miss out on this train, because this is a market that once it starts clicking and the Federal Reserve gets behind it, it'll move $8 to $15 a day.
That's already what we've started seeing, is some nice moves on a daily basis. Even today, gold is up. It's not up double digits, but to start off June, very encouraging. And June is usually a fairly slow month for the markets, which could also be contributing to these nice moves, because there's definitely been a attitude there to move into gold. Now, do you see a scenario, though, where the dollar could also go up with gold, this almost move into safe havens? Recently, we have seen the dollar pull back, which is also supporting of the gold price moving higher. But do you see that broad safe haven move taking charge, or in your eyes, is gold just going to be the standout?
Without the Federal Reserve raising rates, I don't see how the dollar can go up. Okay, I just don't see it happen, because despite all this talk of a trade war, I mean, our trade deficit was still $50 billion last month. And it was bigger with China. So until we get tariffs on the remaining $300 million, I don't see any chance of the dollar going up, especially if the Federal Reserve is still talking cut rates. You know, and one of the other encouragements, Corey, is silver. Silver traded yesterday morning as high as $15.13. Before it pulled back. And so silver is starting to act differently. Like I said, it's outperformed the U.S. stock market for 5 weeks. And its competition has been this nonsense of the Bitcoin. And if you pull up a chart, 6-month chart on Bitcoin, it's collapsing out of a parabolic formation. And it's headed back to $4,000. I mean, so there isn't any competition now. I mean, you can't say go buy Facebook and Apple and Google and Amazon because they're better than gold, because they're not, and they haven't been. And they're miserable stocks. And so I don't think there's any competition for gold and silver now. The real problem, if there is one, is the lack of education in gold and silver. In other words, this, I mentioned her name last time, Dr. Judy Shelton, Shelton, who has got a good chance at being the next Federal Reserve Board governor. She's got two good Republican senator sponsors. When she was mentioned 2 months ago, I went and bought her book, and I got it on Amazon, one of her books, Money Meltdown. I got it for $9 free shipping. It's only available for $18 now with shipping. So if you can read anything from Shelton, she puts things, she does have some stuff on the web. She does an occasional Twitter. That's the biggest problem I see, Corey, is the lack of understanding of the merits in gold and silver. And one of the things that came out after 1933, when the U.S. banks collapsed, and I'm not forecasting that, I think it's going to be Chinese banks collapsing, is that cash was king. From 1930 on, cash was king. Well, it was king because we didn't really have a free gold market back then. We have a free gold market. We have people that own gold, trade gold, buy gold, sell gold. I think gold, if we go into a problem because of the trade wars, gold will benefit significantly as an alternative to currencies. And so if we have a problem, it's this lack of education, Corey.
Hey, I agree with you on that one. The lack of education definitely holding gold back, especially with a lot of the more junior investors, but the ones that do have a lot of capital behind them, just because that bull market went on for so long. And you could argue still might be going on, but there definitely is. It looks like a topping pattern coming. But Ned, it's always great chatting with you. I'm excited the gold is moving higher, and I know you are too. So hopefully this move does continue even throughout summer. And now let's hope that we get a nice close to end this month, because that's also going to be a quarterly month, or a quarterly close, which could be taking us and sucking more investors into the sector finally. Ned, nice to have you on the show. I appreciate your report. And if anybody wants more information on Ned's report, please comment or email me, fleck@kereport.com. Ned, have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
All right. Goodbye, Corey. Good luck.